Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
Good Saturday afternoon, and welcome to another edition of The Drift. Thank you for tuning in to catch our drift. Joining me in the studio, Brandon Drake.
My pleasure.
Glad to have you back.
It's always a pleasure.
It is. It is. Well, I say that, and it sounds facetious, doesn't it? That's probably not the right word I use anyways. Hey, so first frost of the year this morning, all over our roofs. I'm glad I brought my plants in last night. Do you have any plants?
No, I don't.
You're not a gardener?
No plants, no pets, no living things whatsoever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, you're living that...
Very stoical.
It's a monk's life. That should be a song. You know, monk's life. First of all, well, you know, summer's winding down. Time to pull the boats out of the water and get on with our lives, I guess. You know, I'm kind of looking forward. The summer was so crappy anyways that I'm ready, you know. It kind of felt nice this morning, that little bit of chill in the air. I'm ready for some cider and donuts.
You know, I'll take the most recent summer, last summer, over the previous summer when it was like, what, 110 degrees every day for a month?
Oh, that was, yeah, last was... summer was a perfect summer. What are you talking about?
Oh,
that's why we're
no.
paying for it this year.
No, I hated that.
Every weekend was fabulous. It was hot, but I liked the hot.
No, the one thing I hated is the power kept going out.
Don't, really?
Oh, yeah.
We didn't have that problem up by us. You must live out in the boondocks, man.
No, I live in city limits, so...
Okay, so lots to go through today, but I'm not married to any of it. So, you know, as a caller, if you want to call in and talk about something else, feel free.
In other words, we got nothing.
Yeah. Oh, I always got something. It seems like we're just getting bashed in the head with Syria. So we're going to try and talk about some things other than that, but there are some important
things
that have happened.
Syria overkill, you're absolutely right. And it's almost become like this really long, dragged-out, boring soap opera where you can tune in 2-3 weeks from now, nothing's really changed.
Yeah. It's the stories surrounding it, I think, that are probably just as good as anything else. And we'll get to those, but let's take care of some business. Sponsor this half hour, the Current newspaper. Still time to get your ad in the October edition, which is always a fun. It's the Halloween edition of the Current, so good time to get your first ad in the Current if you have not advertised before. I've grown 6 times its size in the last 7 years, so it's a grow your business with the way we have grown the Current. Now delivering to like 30,000 homes and drop off another 5,000. So call in 734-629-6010. Talk to me about advertising in the Current. Or you can go to currentonline.com, CourantOnline.com, and all the information you need to advertise is there as well. And you can email me, and I'm the easiest guy in the world to get hold of, aren't I?
Yeah.
Just
why not?
Just Google me. You can go to GaryWellings.com. I don't know why I paid for that website, but I do. Yeah. One of those.
Or you can call us here at 734-822-1600 in the studio.
That's right. We'll talk to you about it on the air, live.
Yeah,
you can
plug
your own business live on the air. There you go. See, now you're thinking. That's marketing, Gary. That's marketing. Okay, so... something that bothers me, it's not huge, but I think it could be down the road.
Lay it on me.
Here in the state of Michigan, a House committee votes to define journalists and delay access to certain public records. Now, this is one of those things where somebody comes up with a good idea. The House Judiciary Committee on Thursday approved House Bill 4770, which, among other things, attempts to define what a journalist is to restrict access to motor vehicle accident reports for a period of 30 days after an accident. The reason behind this, the thinking behind this was stop the ambulance chasers. So lawyers can't go after this information and find out what's going on and increase their business. You know, it's that ambulance chase. So theoretically, it kind of sounds good, right?
You don't. But unintended consequences is what you're going to
That's typical of government. This is where they kind of start branching out instead of sticking to the one problem and getting it taken care of, you know? So the measure is part of a 3-bill package aimed at impeding these so-called ambulance-chasing law firms. Within the package, the legislation is apparently an attempt to deny these people access, okay? So the government cannot... License Who It Speaks, said attorney and MLive columnist Matt Davis. When the government licenses Who Is in the News Media by saying this group of 50 or whatever the number would be. This compromises the news media, and the government is deciding who gets to speak. Well, absolutely. You know, the fact that they're going to define who is a journalist, and that's so important nowadays with newspapers going out of business, if they say you have to be a newspaper, and here's what they did. They tried to define it. They were going to say a newspaper, the bill considers a journalist to be an employee of a radio or television station licensed by the FCC or an employee of a newspaper. That was it. So all you bloggers, anyone else, online news source, you're not a journalist as far as they would be concerned. A newspaper is said includes a newspaper of general circulation that is published at least once a week. Okay, so that would take, like, The Current, which is once a month, completely off the books. I mean, according to the state, we're not a newspaper. We would be a monthly news magazine or something, you know.
But now you're not qualified.
So we would not be qualified. So we would not be journalists. Kind of nonsense.
It's kind of arbitrary, subjective crap.
Yeah, well, the fact that the government, and, you know, we always get tired of this term slippery slope. If the government says you are not a journalist and are not capable of reporting on this or accessing information to report on it, all of a sudden they can say anything they want.
Yeah, you know? It's state control.
It's state control. That's the way we're running. So they did change that. In committee, the measure was amended to add wording that includes online news sources among the entities that would have access to the reports. Okay, so they did fix it. Patrick Wright, who's with the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, great guy, very smart. You'll find his writing sometimes in Michigan Capital Confidential. He suggested that the legislators should revisit their overall approach. And anytime the Mackinac Center says, you guys might want to take another look at it, I suggest you take another look at it because these are some of the brightest minds when it comes to government anywhere in the country or the world, for that matter, is the Mackinac Center. So just something that struck me at a local level as being odd. Conspiracy nut that I am. At the federal level, okay, at the federal level this week, a Senate panel okays a measure defining a journalist, okay? Twice in 1 week, right? And we've heard these things before, but this is twice in 1 week, once at our state level and now at the Senate level in the federal government. Derek, we've got track one, and this is Dianne Feinstein. Anytime she gets involved in something, it's bad news to begin with.
Right.
But let's roll with this track, Darren. This is her talking about the amendment. This was part of a protective shield law to help, again, to help journalists be protected, right? But now they want to define. So let's roll with that, Derek.
I've had long-standing concerns that the language in the bill as introduced would grant a special privilege to people who really aren't reporters at all, who have no professional qualifications whatsoever. The fundamental issue behind this amendment is, should this privilege apply to anyone, to a 17-year-old who drops out of high school, buys a website for $5 and starts a blog? Or should it apply to journalists, to reporters who have bona fide credentials? This bill is described as a reporter shield bill, so I believe it should be applied to real reporters.
Okay. So they want to define who and who should not be a journalist. I mean, who's to say that a 17-year-old dropout, you know, shouldn't be a reporter? He went and bought his $5 blog or made one for the $1.99 at GoDaddy, whatever, and wants to spend his time keeping his local government in check.
Right.
Reporting on that.
Who are you
to say that he's not a journalist?
Yeah, he may go on to create a newspaper empire.
He could. Absolutely.
And Dianne Feinstein or anyone like her trying to define what a journalist is reminds me of the old Soviet Union trying to define what democracy is.
Yeah.
It's like, come on. Yeah. Give us a break.
It is a slippery slope. There is no better word for it. I know that's overused. But, you know, if you're a listener, you got a comment on that, 734-822-1600. Call in and give us your opinion. If I'm wrong, let me know. But I believe in citizen journalism. You know,
sure.
In this day and age with social media and everything else, I think it's responsible upon all of us. As our country is getting more crowded, as it's getting bigger, as the government gets bigger and bigger, it takes more than the standard traditional journalist to keep an eye on things.
And freedom of speech, come on, freedom of speech is freedom to express yourself, and
yes,
you're free not to pay attention to certain journalists or 17-year-olds that buy a $5 website.
Right.
Where's the harm?
Right, exactly. I mean, if they're not credible, let the public decide
yeah.
that they're not credible. That's the freedom of choice, and it is the constitutional right. So for you to say 17-year-old Johnny, who dropped out of school, just because he dropped out of school doesn't mean he's an idiot. Maybe he's one of those super smart kids who got bored with school and can't afford to go to college, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, freedom of speech is such that if you want to be a dumbass and believe that David Letterman, for example, is a credible source of news, fine, you know? But the government shouldn't step in and try to define what credible sources of news are.
Right.
Right?
Right. We've got Ken calling in from Livonia. Ken, good morning. How are you? Good afternoon.
Well, I'm doing great.
Great. Sorry I dropped your call last week, Ken. I felt really bad about that. I was hoping you'd call back.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay.
Ken never gets rattled. I love Ken.
Ken, go ahead. Tell us what you got.
I just wanted to say that as far as the government goes, I think they can go to Hades because of the fact that, as far as I'm concerned, if they want to say, well, you're not a journalist or you're not a reporter, you can't speak out, well, people like me are going to speak out regardless of what the government said.
Right.
And there again, whether we have the First Amendment or not, which we do have it, you know, we both know the government's trying to take that away from us. But there's no way law-abiding Americans should go along with this. I mean, you know, there again, it doesn't matter what the government says. We're going to keep speaking out anyway.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think, it goes back to the fact, and I think Theron says it all the time on this station, we are the new journalists. I mean all of us, not just people in the studio or whatever, but guys like Ken who are active. You are active, Ken, because you know what? I hear you all the time on different shows. You're calling in and speaking your piece. So for me, you are a journalist, an opinion journalist, but you are still a journalist, and I consider you as such. So, you know, what you do calling in every day is taking that step above and beyond that everyone else should be doing as well. So I want to thank you for being as active as you are, Ken.
Absolutely.
I think it's important that everybody, as long as you have your facts straight and you know what you're talking about, if they see injustice, and believe me, we got a lot of it now in the federal government, especially with Barack Obama, we need to speak out.
Right, right.
And can I bring up a quick other topic while I have you on the line?
Sure, go ahead, Ken.
Well, an example of an injustice, Obamacare. Now, the president said you're not going to lose your current plan. He lied.
Mm-hmm.
He said your premiums or your deductibles are not going to go up. He lied. I currently have a plan through Blue Cross, which is being discontinued because of Obamacare. And if I want to continue a similar plan, it's double in price. So Obama, you lie, you lie, you lie.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for bringing that up, Ken. We were going to maybe hit on that later in the show. I don't know if we'll be able to, but appreciate the call and keep up the good work.
Take care.
Yeah, take care, Ken.
You too. We've got Steve calling in from Plymouth on line two. Steve, how are you today?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good, good.
Good, thanks.
I had no idea that Michigan was also looking at, you know, a similar defining reporters type law, all for our protection, supposedly. And, you know, it's like whenever the government says that they're doing something to protect someone, usually, like, that just means that they're curtailing our liberties in some way. And that's pretty scary. And I think that what's going on here is that the government is, or more than just the government, the powers that be are scared to death of the citizen journalism and the openness of the internet. So they're trying to slip in these good sounding, we're going to protect journalists laws, which are actually going to put the lid on freedom on the internet.
Yeah.
A reporter is someone that reports. So, you know, for Diane Frankenfeinstein to say someone with credentials, well, you know, our country was built by people without credentials. So it's just, you know, it's a scary, it's a real slippery slope.
Is this an avalanche. Is this kind of like another attempt at the fairness doctrine in a roundabout way?
Well, I think you're right. A cousin of the fairness doctrine,
maybe?
I think you're right. Yeah, absolutely. Steve, great points, great calls, and go to thedailydrift.com, and I put those stories up there, and that's one that I think I picked up from Michigan CapCon. So stay up on that. And I think all of us, other listeners as well, make phone calls this week. You know, call your state rep and your state senator and say, hey, let's watch what you're doing when you're talking about defining journalists, because each and every one of us is a journalist in our own right.
Yeah, it's a propaganda cover-up of limiting journalism.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Great call. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
Ed, we've got a call from Ed. Wants to talk about ethanol and gasoline, which is a good subject. I wasn't going to get into that, but it sounds like a winner.
I'll start ranting about that.
Is that line two, Derek? It is. Ed, how are you today?
Good afternoon. Me well?
Doing real good. So what's going on with gasoline and ethanol? I think I know where you're going with this, but tell me your side.
Well, I keep seeing these and hearing ads for the renewable fuel stand. They keep calling it the RFS.
Yeah.
And I know we've got a lot of corn growers who depend on the government for this, but we all know that there's a lot of downside to the government funding the growing of corn for the use of fuel. However, I had an interesting experience with my boat motor this summer. I actually started up my boat and then didn't run it all summer and left the cans of gas full.
Oh, no.
And when I finally got to where I could run the motor, it wouldn't start.
Right.
And so I pumped the gas. I was told by the boat shop to change the gas out. So I changed the gas, and I started pumping the fuel line into a glass cup so I could see what was going on. And the old gas that was in the tank that burned in the spring was now milky white.
Wow.
And the new gas floated on top of the old gas. And it's going to cost me about $300 in repairs to get my carburetors cleaned.
Ed, I bought a brand new lawnmower, and just to make a long story short, it was a total nightmare, and I could make this a whole hour-long story, but I had a very similar experience, and I bought gasoline, and it was in the can for maybe 2.5 weeks, and it clogged up this brand new lawnmower carburetor. I had to take it back in, which was a real pain. It was so clogged up because of this ethanol-laden gasoline that's supposed to be so fantastic, it cost me 3/4 of the cost of a brand new lawnmower. I mean, I was tempted to just say the hell with it and get a new lawnmower because of this gasoline with ethanol in it. So it totally plugged it up. They couldn't clean it. They had to replace the carburetor, and I'm still fuming over this.
Yeah.
And that's 10% ethanol. They're talking about jacking that up to 15% and making it worse. And I've read articles where the car companies and the refineries are threatening to, because they know what a poor product this is and how it's going to destroy engines like your boat motor, my lawnmower engine. It's bad for cars as well. That stuff separates. It draws water in. It plugs everything up. That some of these refineries especially are talking about not selling gasoline in the United States. We're already the biggest exporter of refined petroleum products. But you throw this on top, they're talking about, hey, we won't comply with this 15% order, and we'll sell our products to Europe and South America.
Right.
And I think they backed down a little bit from that recently, from this 15% mandate. But that'll be a total disaster when you jack up the percentage of ethanol from 10% to 15%, which is a 50% increase.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, Ed.
I'm sorry. But when you get into the 15% range, aren't you talking now about E85?
No, the E85, I believe, is 85% ethanol.
No.
It's not?
I don't think so. I'm not an expert, so I'm not going to get in on that one.
Because the E stands for ethanol, right? I'm just, you know.
Yeah, but
I think
it's the 15%.
Is it?
I don't know.
No. I'm gonna, anyway, regardless, it's 10% right now.
Go ahead,
Ed. Fuel mileage, ethanol-based gasoline, is lower. Your range decreases in your tank. If you could go 300 miles before, you're going to go 250 miles. Now, your mileage will drop. The other thing is, the thing about the ethanol is, it's similar to alcohol. And a lot of people who drink know you can mix alcohol and water. well, hey, you better be able to mix ethanol and gasoline. So that's what happened in my boat motor tank, was basically that ethanol and the gas acted like a sponge, drew all the humidity in the hot, humid summer that we had this year.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
It was very corrosive, too.
That I know on my blog. And he said, yeah, I mean, I got pictures on my blog of this. That was pretty weird. To
right.
see gasoline floating on gasoline.
Yeah, that's wild. Well, we know we're going to get more and more problems with this as we pull ahead. And I guess what it comes down to, Ed, we should probably not be supporting this RFS subsity to farmers, right?
Yeah.
That's my point. But yeah, I don't hear anybody saying anything along those lines. All I see is the advertisements, support RFS, like it's a code.
Right.
Oh, you know?
Yeah.
Now, ethanol and gasoline is a total disaster. Period.
Right. Well, I don't like the idea of subsidizing farmers to go ahead and grow crops for ethanol and driving our food costs through the roof. I mean, where's the common sense in that?
Do you remember when Jennifer Granholm was going on her crap about how we were going to make Michigan the ethanol just hub of the country?
Yes.
Of that with the windmills and everything else she talked about? Ugh.
Yeah, yeah. Did you have one last thing there, Ed?
Well, yeah, I think if perhaps we had gotten off our butts and voted for Mitt Romney instead of, not and allowing Obama to get, you know, reelected, maybe we'd be in a better position to, stop this.
Right. Well, Derek got an answer for us, too. Did you get a call, Derek? You did, didn't you? No? You looked it up on the internet. Go ahead.
Yeah, I found out that E85 fuel is 85% ethanol.
Wow, you
win. You can now get down on your knees and thank me for my Drake knowledge.
Wow, really? So yes. I had no idea that 85% of E85 means it's 85% alcohol. That's crazy.
So that must be a special engine to be able to run that, because if you stuck that in your car right now, I think it would destroy your engine.
Yeah,
I would. Because 10% is destroying it.
Yeah, well, great call, Ed. I appreciate it. And you know what? If you come across more of that, well, I'll do my own homework and try and get up on this. This is a great discussion to have.
When you personally experience the damaging effects of ethanol, it really, you know, you really want to talk about it and limit this, because when I talked to the lawnmower repair guys, they said 90%+ of their business in repairing lawnmowers is because of ethanol gasoline clogging up the carburetors and the fuel lines in that lawnmower.
Wow.
90% of their repair business.
Go ahead, Ed.
Premium has less ethanol in it. The boat shop told me, burn premium in my boat motor from now on. There's less ethanol.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. All right. Well, appreciate the call, John. And
Ed.
Or Ed, sorry.
Take care, Ed.
We've got John calling in, but we're going to have to hit John, I think, on the other. How many minutes to break here, Derek? Couple 2 minutes. Maybe we can get John in. John, go ahead. How are you?
Great. Listen, I've got. I heard on the radio the other day these windmills that they're not talking about have killed 165 bald eagles.
I saw that on the news today. Yeah. Yes.
Terrible.
Yeah. Nice. Hey, go ahead.
It's beyond terrible.
You know, yeah, it was on. In fact, it was on Fox News this morning. They had a guy that takes care of eagles that need help. And, the number of eagles how many other birds are being killed,
sure.
You know what
exactly.
I mean, by these things?
They died for the environmentalists, the green cause.
Yeah.
Once again, unintended consequences.
Unintended consequences of somebody thinking they're doing something good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, unbelievable. Thanks for the call, John. Was there anything else you wanted to bring up?
Not at this time. I appreciate you guys letting me speak.
Yeah, no
Thanks,
problem.
John.
Thanks for the call, John. Yeah, once again, it's the government thinking they're doing something good. And, you know, hey, we all love trees. We all love clean energy. But you know what? In the end, it's got to make sense. It's got to be common sense. And if we're growing corn, driving up our food prices to put ethanol into our tanks and then damage the vehicle we just spent $40,000 on.
That's the whole thing.
You know,
we're creating an inferior product to destroy very expensive, hard, we've worked very hard to buy these things that we have to have, and we know we're creating an inferior product that damages our cars, our boats, our lawnmowers.
Right. All right, so we're going into break. Great calls. Great listeners. Love that fact that we obviously hit a couple of good subjects here. So
keep those calls coming.
Yeah. So 734-822-1600. We'll see you on the other side.
always on the move, driving to work, getting the groceries, hauling the kids to soccer. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham for intelligent conversation with hosts like Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theron X. They stay tuned in for Fox updates, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600.
News Radio. I'm Lillian Wu. In flooded out parts of Colorado, hundreds of people are being rescued. Still others are refusing to leave their homes, about 50 of them, according to Boulder County Sheriff Joe Pelley, who wants them to understand.
We're making our best effort. If they pass on it today, we may not be able to help them tomorrow.
Many of those who are willing to go picked up in National Guard choppers, others driven to safety in convoys. The president calls it an important concrete step as the U.S. and Russia agree on a framework for securing Syrian chemical weapons.
U.S. and Russian negotiators did agree that any failure to comply by Assad with the terms of the deal, including that full declaration of his stockpiles by next Friday, followed by immediate and unfettered access for inspectors thereafter, will result in referral to the U.N. Security Council for punishment.
Fox's James Rosen, Fox News. We report, you decide.
To succeed in today's business environment, your business needs to be seen by as many customers as possible. The Current newspaper serves Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties. Advertising in The Current is the best way to get your money's worth out of your print media budget. The Current has grown 600% since 2007 because The Current has a unique venue for local content, common sense, and your business message. Getting your business message into thousands of homes utilizing The Current newspaper for mere pennies a piece is the best way to do that. And your ad is also seen online for free. Call Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current, at 734-629-6010. That's 734-629-6010. Or go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Grow your business in print and online with The Current newspaper.
DBM VoiceWorks. Audiobooks, corporate training videos, PowerPoint presentations, movie theater announcements, voicemail systems, and voiceovers for television commercials. Whatever your need, DBM VoiceWorks is here for you. To learn more about DBM VoiceWorks, visit dbmvoiceworks.com. That's dbmvoiceworks.com.
Town and Country Pools are the folks you need for a great summer pool season. They carry commercial and residential pool and spa supplies, a full line of baskets, brushes, extension poles, bromine, chlorine, algicide, and everything else necessary to keep your pool and spa bright, shiny, and squeaky clean. They also do water testing and consultation to help you fix any pool or spa problem you may be having. Shop where the pros go. Go to Town and Country Pools, 3773 Morgan Road in Ypsilanti. Call them at 734-434-1700.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dave Janda, host of Operation Freedom, broadcasting live from Wham Talk 1600's Freedom Bunker every Sunday from 3 to 5. We are the only operating room in all of radio. Every Sunday in our OR, we dissect current events with the help of guests that Enemedia are afraid to bring to light. Our goal is to educate and empower you. I hope you'll join our OR team every Sunday from 3 to 5 right here at Wham Talk 1600. Yeah!
You're listening to The Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back to the show. Joining me in the studio, Brandon Drake.
Hey, when you were using the term ambulance chaser in the first segment, it made me think of, if you ever subject yourself to daytime TV and you see those commercials like, call 1-800-LEE now. Or 1-800-CALL-SAM, and you got some guy in there, Sam got me a $300,000 settlement for my motorcycle accident.
Or, right.
I'm on Social Security disability.
Well, you know, I'm going to have to bill them now for that. Thanks, dude. Just made me some money, right? No.
I can't help it.
That's, yeah, I mean.
That's what the image I had in my mind. It made, yeah. Almost made me laugh.
Yeah, it's funny, too, because Michigan has actually done some work to limit what do they call
the medical
the amount of money, the rewards.
Yeah, the unlimited lifetime.
Yeah.
Well, that still hasn't passed yet, but it's been brought back up again. So hopefully that will pass and we'll get a break on. We have the most expensive car insurance in the whole country because of that.
Really?
Yes.
I knew we were way up there, but number one.
Yeah, I believe so. And we're the only state that has unlimited lifetime medical benefits. And that's why the premiums are so high.
Wow, that's brutal. That's absolutely brutal. All right. Well, let's take care of a little business. Miss Molly Foundation is making a difference auction. It's 5:30 p.m. Tuesday, October 15th, 2013. It's going to be at Service Brands International, which is located at 3948 Ranchero Drive in Ann Arbor. This is the 11th annual Making a Difference Live and Silent Auction. It's a 501c3 nonprofit. It helps victims of domestic violence through national awareness and support to local shelters and charities. So a very worthwhile gig, if you can make it down there. It's $20 a person. You can RSVP, respondez s'il vous plaît. I wish I could speak French. 734-822-6211. Or you can contact Char, C-H-A-R dot Luttrell, L-U-T-T-R-E-L-L at msmolly.org by 1010, which is the 10th of October. So a worthwhile cause. Figured we'd mention it. And it's sponsored by THI, America's best-selling truck accessories, Wham Talk 1600, Ann Arbor Smiles Dental Group, Spectrum Printers, and Fifth Third Bank. So, and appetizers will be provided by Paisanos. So the food will be definitely good. You'll probably get your $20 worth just going there for that.
I would think so. Well, you know, Char and Michelle came in during the week, and I recorded and produced that spot for them. So you'll also hear it on Wham during the week.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, for more information on it.
So pay attention to that. Nice thing. Here at The Drift, we go through the news of the week, and I put the information that I stick on The Daily Drift every day so that you are informed, and it's the news you need to know. So go to thedailydrift.com, and you can catch up or read along with us on these stories that we talk about during the show on Saturday. So, and Brandon always comes in to help me, and Derek, thank you for producing us once again. Coming up on our two-year mark. Next month.
2 years.
2 years. Hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah, time flies.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Exactly, exactly. We were just saying that on break, how much fun we have.
Yeah, absolutely.
We want a second hour.
Okay, so other news this week surrounding Syria. Okay, I guess we can bring people up to date. It looks like the Russians and us, the United States, have kind of starting to put something together about allowing Syria to give their weapons up, weapons of mass destruction up. And that's a good move, I think. It's a shame that it was the Russians making that instead of us, but,
Well, in all fairness, though, the Russians and the Syrians, Assad, would have never agreed to this unless we threatened military.
I would agree with that.
That's got to be part of the equation.
I will agree with that. It takes a good cop, bad cop, you know. And I guess the point we were making a couple of weeks ago when we started about this was, why do we not work more hand-in-hand with the Russians? I mean, I think we have more in common with them than we certainly do anyone in the Middle East, right?
Yeah, but I think that at times we do try to work with the Russians, and they basically stick a fork in our eye. And that's, you know, I know you like Putin and everything, but...
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan. But
I don't think he's got America's best interests at heart whatsoever.
You know what I like about Putin? He's got Russia's best interest at heart. And I don't know that our president has our best interests at heart. That's what I like about Vladimir Putin. He puts Russia number one, and you cannot blame him for that. That's self-interest. That's the way he's supposed to be as a president of a country. Our president should be the same.
Right, but at the same time, if he's looking at looking out for Russia as number one, you really have a little trouble arguing the point that we should be working so closely with the Russians, because he's always going to be just looking at his side, which I think he does. And I think at every opportunity, you know, he spits in our eye, spits in our face whenever he can, because that's part of his agenda. And he's a Cold War warrior, KGB, then head of the FSB. That's his agenda. That's his mindset.
Oh, yeah. I mean, without a doubt,
and so he's cold, and
he's calculating.
Yeah.
But again, what I admire about him is that he's Russia is number one. He's looking out for number one. We have common ground in the Middle East,
and the common ground
is getting those weapons of mass destruction taken away from unstable regimes and regimes that may use them when they shouldn't.
We have certain common ground. Yeah, when it comes to, well, you know what? Okay, this is where I'm going to really agree with you. Russia, you know, are really, really concerned about Sunni Islamist extremists, yes. Al-Qaeda, et cetera, because they have that problem in their country. They're a little more lackadaisical towards the Shiites, like the Iranians, like the Alawites, which is an offshoot of Shiite Islam with Assad. And, you know, they're going to, build a second nuclear reactor in Iran, I heard. Big supporter of Iran, which really concerns me.
Right.
So, I mean, we do have some common ground with them, I think, if we really work at it. But I think we have a lot of issues with the Russians because they are sponsors of some of our biggest enemies in the world.
Right.
Venezuela, Iran, I'm sure to a certain degree, North Korea, Syria. If there's an opportunity to kick us, you know, I keep using these terms like spit in our face and et cetera. They're going to do it.
You think he's holding a grudge for losing the Soviet Union?
Yes, I do.
Yes,
I do
would
think
agree.
He has
probably
that grudge.
Are. We gave him a butt kicking.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ronald Reagan.
I think he does have that grudge.
But
I think where we totally agree on Putin is that he's ruthless, he's focused, and he's looking out for his country, and
yes.
You want to see more of the same for our country.
Yes, I want to see our president do the same.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that. But I don't know how much we can work with the Russians if we are just totally looking out for us as he looks out for Russia.
Yeah, it's one of those things.
There's
Let's change
clash.
The subject momentarily.
Momentarily.
For a regular caller, Jenny. How are you, Jenny?
I'm fine. How are you guys?
Hey,
good,
Jenny.
Good. You've got a little event in Colorado that's positive for us to talk about. Go ahead.
About the gun control nuts getting recalled.
Oh, see, you're jumping ahead of the game. But you go ahead.
Well, I think it's cool. I just hope that they can repeal those laws now that they passed.
Yeah.
That, because of those two unfortunates in the Colorado Senate who are now no longer there.
Right, right.
I hope they can do something about that now because the people won.
Right. Well, Angela Giron, I think is how they pronounce it, is one of those recalled legislators. She's a Democrat. And Jenny, hang on. We're going to play this. Don't go anywhere.
Okay.
Derek, let's go with the final track on our list today, which is track, I think,
wow.
Three.
What a lead-in.
Yes.
Ms. Giron, you know, 2 days after this surprise defeat, we have you here. You were considered this, you know, heavy favorite. Yesterday, you were quoted as saying that you weren't sure quite what had happened. Have you figured that out yet?
Well, yeah, and I think that was a really misquote in that we know what really happened here. I mean, yes, we had a strong NRA, and you have a person like Mr. Head, but really what this story really is about, it's about voter suppression.
So you want to talk about a poor loser. Really? You're going to blame? Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
It is. Let's go back to 2000 when we had the Chad mess.
Yeah.
Right? Because Al Gore couldn't deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he lost.
Well, you see, Jenny, we're on the same page after all. You're just a little ahead of me on today's schedule. But, yes, thank you, Jenny. I appreciate the phone call.
You're welcome. And I would like to say one more thing.
Sure.
Because you're still talking about Putin and everything.
Yeah.
We need to be careful because he just slapped us in the face on the New York Times.
Sure he did.
Yes. Thank you, Jenny.
Sure he did.
So, Come on.
I'm no big fan of Putin.
Yeah.
And Obama didn't say anything about it because he's a Marxist, too.
Well, Rand Paul did, though, and hopefully we can get to that if the hour flows smoothly.
Okay,
Jenny,
so
thanks for the call.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. We've got Gene from Chicago. Gene wants to talk about Dianne Feinstein's. Gene, how are you today?
Good, gentlemen. Just crossed the border back from Canada and headed back toward Chicago now, but I've been listening. And when you were talking earlier about Dianne Feinstein, I really think they're trying to compartmentalize the First Amendment. I don't know if one of you guys has the First Amendment handy to read. It's not that long, but I'm driving, so I can't look it up on my iPad here. But what I think that they're trying to do, a lot of law works on precedent, ends up in the court, and they keep going back to precedent on these laws. And I think what they're trying to do is separate, like they've tried to do with the Second Amendment. You know how they've tried to say the military is really the militia and they're the only ones that should have guns? Well, I think they're trying to do that with our First Amendment. And they're trying to state that journalists should be the only one to speak and journalists should only be allowed by us. Just wanted to throw that at you. right. you think about it.
Yeah, right. No, that's exactly
yeah.
right.
Yeah, in fact, I pulled it up for you. Let's read it, shall we, Gene, just to make sure everyone knows. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. I think you're right. I think they want to compartmentalize that.
They're and chipping away.
It's that divide and conquer mentality.
Word, I'm sorry. Do you see that word in there? It says or freedom
yes.
of the press. If you read just before it, it says free speech. That's
right.
everybody.
That covers everybody. Then, I thought the same thing.
Yes. And that's the point. The point is right there in that amendment. Thank God they wrote it that way.
Right.
But I think that's what they're trying to do. The same exact thing. They're compartmentalizing this amendment into special privileged people. And I think that's what they're trying to go after. This could be very... You know how they call us dangerous?
Yes.
These people are dangerous.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great call, Gene. I appreciate pointing that out. That's awesome.
Right, yeah.
You be
good.
Safe in your travels, Gene, and call in again when you're in the neighborhood.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank
Take
you.
Care. Well, there you go. Common sense coming from Gene, who's traveling. I love getting those calls from people not in the local area. That's awesome.
Yeah. Gene, Jenny, everybody that calls in.
Yeah.
Great calls today.
Yeah, great
Keep
calls.
Keep them coming.
And people, you can listen to Wham Radio on the internet as opposed to over the AM dial at www.wham.com. And it's clear as a bell. TuneIn Radio app I've got on mine, clear as a bell. It's really a better way to listen to the radio, frankly, over the internet. Thank goodness for the internet.
You know, Jenny mentioned that Obama is a Marxist as well. I would argue that Obama is more of a Marxist than Putin. Putin's more of a mafia-like nationalist.
Yeah, he's a capitalist as far as I'm
yeah,
concerned.
Yeah, he's a state capitalist.
Yes.
But more of a mafia family boss.
Wow.
And a nationalist type mentality.
Ooh, dude, you sent shivers down my spine.
Whereas Obama, I think, is more of a globalist wannabe.
Right. Well, let's take a break, Derek. And when we come back, we'll try and get through Putin's editorial.
You don't need no stinking break.
And we'll see you on the other side.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
The Dearborn Heights Republican Club September meeting will take place on Monday, September 16th at the Canfield Community Center, which is located at 1801 Beach Daily Road, south of Ford Road. The social part of the evening will begin at 7 p.m. with the meeting starting at 7:30 p.m. To learn more, visit DearbornRepublicans.org. Pro-life members of the Ann Arbor community and surrounding areas are encouraged to join together for the kickoff rally for the Fall 2013 Ann Arbor 40 Days for Life campaign at 7 p.m. Monday, September 23rd at Cross and Resurrection Lutheran Church on the campus of Eastern Michigan University. 40 Days for Life is an intensive pro-life campaign that focuses on 40 days of prayer and fasting, 40 days of peaceful vigil at abortion facilities, and 40 days of grassroots educational outreach. Ann Arbor is one of the more than 500 communities from 19 nations conducting simultaneous 40 Days for Life campaigns from Wednesday, September 25th through Sunday, November 3rd. Local pro-life advocates are encouraged to visit Ann Arbor Campaign's website, 40daysforlife.com/Ann Arbor, to sign up for an hour of prayer in front of Planned Parenthood, 3100 Professional Drive in Ann Arbor. To learn more about 40 Days for Life, visit 40daysforlife.com. Ann Arbor's Monster Record and CD Collector Show will be Sunday, October 13th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Weber's Inn, 3050 Jackson Road. General admission is $3 at 10 p.m. Early admission, $15 at 8 a.m. There will be 60 tables and a $25 shopping spree drawing at 12 and 2 p.m. For dealer info, call 734-604-2540.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at wham.com. Radio.com.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
You're catching the drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift. And the Drift. On Wham Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
Okay, so not a whole lot of time left in the hour, but we were talking about Putin doing an editorial in the New York Times. And of course, what he basically, I mean, he was a plea for caution on his part. Part of it is, hey, let's not rush to war.
He'll have credibility with me when he goes on Jimmy Fallon.
That could happen.
Yeah, I want to see that.
And here's the point I'm making. So then Rand Paul, of course, did a, in the Times magazine, did an editorial, because what a lot of people took offense at was Putin saying America and Americans are not an exceptional people. And I think the point he's trying to make is we're normal like everyone else. Well, we're not, because you know what? Democracy, all the good things we've done, and we've done it out of the goodness of our hearts. We haven't done it as a selfish country. We have given more than any country in the world. So we are exceptional. And I take offense at that too, because you know what?
Right.
I wish our president would say we're exceptional, but it seems to be
exactly. Yeah.
You know, there
he
was
should be, he should be leading the charge on that. And here's the thing too, a guy like Putin and his cronies, they should be totally embarrassed for the rest of their lives for the system that they built and supported during the Cold War that we eventually won. For them to compare themselves and their history, you know, going back to Lenin and forward with the brutality and the failures and the, you know, the reason they're not a Soviet, you know, what was it, 15 republics in this Soviet Union and this terrible plague of a system that they not only implemented on themselves, but on the whole world. You know, the trillions of dollars spent, the lives lost during the Cold War. And for them to, for him to act like he is such, so superior to us in that smug way and dicing and slicing the words and skewing it the way he has, to me is just disgusting. In reality, he should be ashamed of his past.
Yes, he should be. And a lot of our lawmakers had, I'm not going to read through the bunch of them, but you know, all the top dogs in Washington said, they disagreed with him, obviously, and said nasty things back about Putin. Oddly enough, John McCain is now allegedly negotiating to write an editorial in Pravda, which is the state newspaper, state-run newspaper in Russia. And Russian communists are baffled by the McCain-Pravda plan. I'm thinking to myself, I read this article, and the communists, of course, are angry about it, but John McCain, the way he's been acting lately, he is a communist.
He might be their number one supporter.
I guess the good point that I'm looking at is, you know what? Instead of lobbing missiles right now, we're lobbing editorials across country. And that's the way it should be. You know, there's a standard here of which, you know, freedom of the press. I would hope Putin would allow our legislators, Nancy Pelosi, as dumb as they are, allow those editorials to go into Pravda and whatever other Russian newspapers. I would rather see an editorial from Putin in our New York Times or Detroit Free Press as opposed to seeing a missile cruising across the sky. If we're talking, we're not fighting.
Oh, I agree. You know what I mean? I agree.
And for me, it's a good move. Say what you want about the content of these editorials going back and forth, but we're lobbing editorials, which don't kill anybody. It may assault your senses or your sensibility.
Where I get offended is it seems like America is always on the short end of the, how's the cliche go? Short end of the stick?
Yeah.
Okay, in the information war. It seems like trying to communicate our message around the world always comes up short compared to the Al-Qaeda message and the Putin-type messages. Well, sure. and all these other morons and criminals around the world seem to get their message across straighter than we are able to counter against them and get our message out that we are exceptional. Right. And our history is exceptional. Right. And we're very proud of it. And the reality is it's true.
Yeah. Well, it comes down to information. And he who controls the communication lines of communication wins any war. In the world today, it's a war of education. It's a war of information. And the fact that, starting with Afghanistan, we didn't park 3 or 4 communication satellites over the Middle East and just start blasting in Farsi, in Arabic, in whatever other language, Pashtun, blasting information from a satellite. So, and we should have been dropping handheld radios, whatever, to people over there and letting them get the information. They're not getting educated in those madrasa schools. All they're getting is propagandized, and it's information to hate our guts.
Right.
The only way to get around that is to blast information to them and educate them to our way of life.
Hey, but even better, how about this plan? To pacify the Middle East, this is what you do. You drop in couches, you drop in television sets, and free cable, and junk food, refrigerators. Yeah, Xbox, exactly. And you'll have these people so lackadaisical, laying around on couches, watching TV, American reruns from the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
And they'll just get totally hypnotized, and then everything will be fine.
It comes down to a culture war is what it is. And if you don't understand the culture there, which is the first thing, we need to understand that their culture is a culture of, I don't want to use the word hate, maybe a culture of suspicion.
Paranoia.
That's exactly right. And that's part of that is the Muslim religion. I mean, they're intertwined, the culture there. And one of the things that bothered me this week on the news, and I wanted to get to this before we, Christiana Amanpour, who's I think a CNN, she's still a CNN anchor, I think. She was on Anderson Cooper. And she was talking about the moral equivalence of gassing people versus sawing the heads off people. Do we got that track, Derek? Let's run that.
I can barely contain myself at this point. How many more times do we have to say that weapons of mass destruction were used? And as bad as it is to decapitate somebody, it is by no means equal. We can't use this false moral equivalence about what's going on right now. They tried to do it in the Second World War. They tried to do it in Bosnia. They tried to do it in Rwanda. And they're trying to do it now. There is no moral equivalence between...
And here's the moral, she's right and she's wrong. There is a moral equivalence and yet there is a difference. If Assad used the gas, I haven't seen the evidence that says he has. He did it in wartime. And in wartime, you catch prisoners. These Syrian rebels are sawing, not cutting the heads off people. They are literally using kitchen knives to saw the heads off people. I don't want to befriend, support, or back those people. There is a difference, indeed. But gassing people and cutting the heads off, I don't want to support either one of those people.
And I'd say to Mr. Putin, I think we are a little better than those types of people.
We are.
We aren't all the same.
We are. That's right. Okay, till next week, stay informed, go to thedailydrift.com, and we'll catch you next Saturday. Take care.